Is QuickBooks slowing your business down? Do you have challenges managing inventory, project profitability, or just getting paid fast enough? Get your business to a better place and graduate to NetSuite today. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite.
Join the over 24,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/info. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/info, netsuite.com/info.
What's up, everybody? This is Texas Tony here on Southern Showdown. We are a brand new show debuting here on Shooting the Sports. It's from the fucking newsroom, as you can see. We're in the newsroom here. I got Stephen Carolina with me. What's going on, brother?
Hey, everybody, it's Stephen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, everybody, it's Stephen Carolina here. I'm here to whoop Tony's ass in sports debate today. I know y'all used to hearing me on Raw Views. No. I can only do that for so long before it starts hurting the back of my throat. I had a rough weekend. How was your weekend?
Baylor got their game canceled at the last minute, and then the Texans had already lost by the weekend. So, shit.
Okay. So yeah. You can feel my pain. The best part is, as people learn about us, we talk a lot in chats. You are way more braggadocious than I am in the chats. As most people know, I am a very soft-spoken, non-braggadocious person out on Twitter, and I take those same takes to DMs. But Florida State lost, Miami lost, and I may have hitched my wagon to the Clippers.
Hold the fuck on. Everybody listen to this. He hitched his wagon to the Blazers, to the Rockets, and to the Clippers because he just doesn't want LeBron James to win. And one of these days, he will accept Majesty the King. He will. It'll happen when he retires.
It's not that I don't want him to win. I thought the Rockets were going to get about 80,366 open three-pointers. I said if they made enough, then they would win. We're going to get into it. The Clippers pretty much, that was rough.
Before we get going, hit subscribe, like, comment, share. We're going to get into it. So this show, what we're going to do is we have a handful of topics we're going to talk about. Stephen and I have aggressively different takes most of the time with everything that we talk about. So we're going to get into it. Let's talk first. We'll jump into the Clippers. Stephen's Clippers and his best player on the world, Kawhi Leonard, played like absolute fucking garbage last night. Kawhi had a whopping, 14 points he had. Shot 0 for in the fourth quarter. They were up 3-1, as Way Off P would say. They were in the driver's seat at 3-3. And then they crumbled under pressure. They crumbled under fucking pressure. Blew a 3-1 lead. This is your king. This is your king. This was who we thought were going to win the championship last summer. Everyone said they were going to win. Steven, you're wrong. Tell me.
It's really hard to defend him here. And I really want to, because I do think skills-wise, age-wise, he's probably most people's number one pick as an all-around player. But when you watch the last three games, especially that last game, and he goes scoreless in the fourth quarter. I think I called him Kahoudini. He disappeared. Yeah. And it's kind of sad, though, because, his teammates didn't pick him up either. And where I'm going to go with this? Typically speaking, when LeBron starts shrinking in the fourth quarter, his teammates magically pick him up. When he misses that open three and then Ray Allen hits it in the corner, he gets all the praise. When Kawhi Leonard was missing, playoff P didn't show up. Your boy Lou Williams,
Lemon
was
Pepper
nowhere
Lou,
to be found. The last place I saw him was on a milk carton. He didn't show up. Nobody showed up for him last night when he had an off night. He disappeared in the fourth quarter. There is no saving him from that. But at the same time, we've seen other Kings not show up in the fourth quarter, and their teammates picked them up. He had no one to help him last night.
Let's spin this around, though, because here's the thing. You can say that argument all you want. Sure, LeBron has shrunk in big moments. LeBron also has a little bit of reputation for making 9 straight NBA finals. Does he lose in them? Sure, he's lost against some all-time great teams. Losing to a Popovich Spurs team, that ain't nothing to be upset about. Losing to the Mavs, a little bit to be upset about. But we're going to stay away from LeBron. Whenever LeBron loses, right, we say, LeBron, you picked that team yourself. Kawhi fucking picked this team. Not only did he pick this team, he called and convinced the stupid-ass ownership of the Clippers to trade 5 first-round picks. 5 first-round picks for Pandemic P. Now, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not your future. You got no future, LA Clippers. You threw everything in to win a title this year, and then you don't do it. Kawhi is the reason you do this. You have ads. Kawhi has ads targeting LeBron and Kobe, rest in peace, when he was still alive. This is his city, my city, he says with his whack-ass New Balance ad. He picked this team. Kawhi has nobody to blame but himself. He left Toronto in the best situation a dude like him could have been in, because he was in Toronto where the media wasn't on him, and we didn't have to pay attention to, guess what, 9 of 22, that's pretty normal for Kawhi Leonard. 9 of 22 is very normal. Shooting below 50% and shooting inefficiently, that's normal for Kawhi Leonard. He's a great player. But he traded his future for Paul George, who, by the way, cheated on Doc Rivers' daughter. What a fucked up situation the Clippers are, man.
And let me ask you this, because you talked about situations that that Kawhi's come from before. Let's talk about the situation before Toronto, right? He was with San Antonio, where Popovich gets all the stress and the pressure if something goes wrong. So this is the first time, and he's not a very verbal guy. He's not a very vocal guy, and he's the guy that's got to make the rallying cry. And I wonder if that's where this team fell short. His play is fantastic. I do now worry about him as a leader. If I think about him leading people, the one thing I'll say about LeBron James, I know you think I'm a hater of LeBron James, but the one thing I'll say about him is he is very outspoken. He will yell at his teammates. He will get everybody going. Kawhi, on the other hand, he's got the awkward laugh. He's kind of a robot. He doesn't really talk much. And we've already seen Paul George as a leader of a team doesn't go really far. I worry, much like you, about the Clippers' future. I think it's going to look much like their past.
We're going to talk about the Clippers' future here with a Doc Rivers here, and then we'll move on to one more topic with last night's game and get out of this topic. Doc Rivers is assume that he is part of their future. And Doc Rivers, listen, Hall of Fame coach, absolutely. Like, Doc Rivers, Hall of Fame all day, baby. Absolutely. This isn't new for him, though. He's been with the Clippers for 8 or 9 years now. 2003, blew a 3-1 lead, Magic versus the Pistons. The biggest and worst one before last night was 2015, Clippers versus Rockets. They were up 3-1. They were the favorites. They were a title-contending Clippers team. That's the last time they had a real title contender. I want to say that team was with Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, like DeAndre Jordan. That was those Clippers teams. Yeah, great. Yeah,
really good Clippers team. I will say that you're assuming he's going to be part of the plans moving forward.
Who do you replace him with?
Billy Donovan.
Oh, get the fuck. Go on. Tell me.
No. So here's my thing. Somebody's going to have to fall on this sword, right?
Right.
He is the only coach that has blown 3-1 leads in the playoffs. You can't just, your point was, you've already mortgaged your entire future.
Right.
You have nothing left. You have no chess pieces to play other than you get rid of Doc and you bring in a new voice. Look, Billy Donovan is a really good coach. He's had a lot of success at the college level. He's had some success with NBA teams at the pro level in the playoffs, not a championship, but neither is Doc Rivers. It's a new voice. It's a new face. I think that's where they go. I think Doc is going to fall on the sword on this one.
Yeah, I don't think he can do that. I think that you mortgage your future here, and you need to have some stability. If you're already wayward right now, right? You're already wayward. They didn't really make very many moves that do anything. But like, let's not be crazy here. Last night, epic collapse, and we'll talk about historically how big of a collapse that was. But this team is not bad. They shouldn't be bad. Is Paul George an absolute pretender when it comes to the playoffs? Yes. But Kawhi has now understands what it's like to fail, and that's going to change him. And we don't know how that's going to change him. It could change him like it did for LeBron when he failed all those years. Then all of a sudden, he's this monster that runs the East and just destroys the East. We don't know if we're getting that Kawhi. You don't want to go into 2021. That's going to be another weird season. That's going to start probably on Christmas Day, is my assumption for when they start, without a coach you know for years. This team has been around them. They were complaining last night about not having the time for chemistry, which, fuck you, Lou Williams. What a stupid thing to say. You guys were in the bubble for a month before you played. You had more time to get along with each other than any team in one season ever, literally ever, because of COVID. But you can't get rid of Doc Rivers yet, because Billy Donovan would be a great place. I agree with you. Great place for him. If you knew that if this project doesn't work, that you have a future, but you have no first round picks.
But
what happens when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard opt out next year?
That's not going to happen. But I mean, it could happen. Here's my thing, though. We just both agreed. By the way, mango truly is the worst possible truly you could be drinking right now.
It's mango truly lemonade.
We just talked
lemonade.
About how Kawhi is the nonverbal leader, right?
Which yeah.
is even worse. Anyway, Doc Rivers, instead of like rallying the troops, you know what he did last night?
Ooh, you calling him Jason Garrett? No clapping, though. No clapping.
It was awful. He was awful. Look, you know that your leader of the team is not a rah-rah guy. You got to bring your guys in. You see this run coming. You got to stop the run. You got to call timeout. You have to be that verbal leader if you're Doc Rivers, and you failed last night. Doc Rivers, like, we can talk about the missed shots, and there were a lot of missed shots. I mean, I think they scored, what, 7 points in the fourth quarter or something?
They went 0 for 11. They were 0 for through, I think there were 6.5 minutes left when they made their first bucket, and that was after that Paul George off the top of the side of the backboard.
And then Kawhi hit the side of the backboard at one point, I think. It was awful. It was awful. But at the same time, if you're Doc Rivers, you're the head coach, you're the guy that's been there nearly a decade.
Yeah.
You're the guy that was supposed to be the glue to all these pieces. You didn't do enough. In my opinion, you can't make any other changes. You're not going to get any better. There's no way this team is going to get any drastically better. And guess what? The Splash Brothers are coming, and they got the number two pick that they're going to be trading. Golden State's going to be rolling. The Lakers are going to be rolling. And you got to make a change if you're the Clippers. The only change you can make is getting rid of the head coach. But to your point, maybe not Billy Donovan. Maybe Ty Lue.
I like Ty Lue. I like Sam Cassell is maybe moving up there too. He's been there for a long time. I think that if you're going to change coaches, I think you go with Sam Cassell and give him a chance. See if they rally around a new coach. New situation, new year, new post-pandemic life, hopefully. Just one last thing I want to say about this before we go on. I think we don't have to spend too much time on this. Everyone in every sports show today is talking about the Clippers collapse, but do not get it fucking twisted. The Denver Nuggets are real. They are legit. And this show next week, Steven might be telling me that my king is in trouble, because the Nuggets are legitimately a terrifying team with everybody's favorite uncle, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Now, yes, the Lakers should win that series. Absolutely, they should. But losing, the Clippers should have won the series. They should have won the series. But the Nuggets are playing phenomenal, and they are a terrible mismatch for many teams in the league.
If LeBron James is who we say he is, this series should not go more than five. Anything else, you have to start questioning the greatness of your king.
See, that's where you fuck up. You assume that the Lakers are going to be up 3-1, and that's just where the Nuggets want you. In historic There have been some epic fails over the last 5 years. We had last night's. We had the 3-1 the same year, back-to-back 3-1 blown death leads. The Thunder blew it to the Warriors, who ended up blowing a 3-1 lead to the Cavs. Which one's more catastrophic? You had the Warriors doing it against LeBron James in the finals, yeah. Up 3-1. Crazy pivotal moment where we had Draymond Green and his buttery ass teeth get kicked out. And then we had the Thunder where Westbrook just absolutely melted and gave up the, like he did, yep, against the Lakers this last series. Which one's worse, Steven? Tell me your pick on it.
Man, this one's really tough. I think you have to withdraw the Thunder one. I think that's the least of the three. And then when I look at it, when I look at this here, I'm looking at that loaded Golden State team that I think is one of the greatest teams we've ever seen.
Yes.
And with one of the greatest players we've ever seen. And then I look at last night's collapse, where at least when Golden State lost the 3-1 lead, that last game was one of the best games we've ever seen. That was one of the most exciting 1-point finishes ever. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the night – I hate my cat's making a run in here. But I think that's the night my wife went into labor with my daughter. But we're sitting around, we're watching that game, and I remember it, and I'm like, you know, it sucks you blew the 3-1 lead, but man, like, you were in it. You had the opportunity to win. Last night, the Clippers just completely lost to the lesser team. The Clippers are the better team with theoretically the better coach, and they were up 3-1. I can't let that go. I think that's why I'm going to lean into the Clippers loss being the worst of the three, only because that Golden State loss at the end, they were right there. They were a block shot away from winning the championship.
So I'm going to go with the Thunder. And here's why.
Wow.
Now, before I do, let me take the point here on the Clippers. The easy pick is to say the Clippers, because not only was it a 3-1 blown deficit, they were also up by double digits in every single one of the games in the closeout situations and still lost it. It is a pretty embarrassingly epic fail. The Thunder will be that blown lead is historical for many reasons. It has impacted the NBA today. You started the fucking most terrifying team we have probably ever seen in the NBA Finals with KD, the Splash Brothers, and bitch-ass Draymond Green. I cannot stand Draymond Green. You know what? Let me stop myself here. Draymond, I'm sorry. Pat Bev exists. You cool. We all right now. Let me
tell you, though. Draymond Green, if Josh Pulver is listening to this, he knows how much I love Draymond coming out of college. He was one of my favorite players coming out of that draft. Still love the guy today. So you, of course, have a really bad take on Draymond Green.
he just bothers me. But you know what? He doesn't bother me nearly as much as Pat Bev. I'm sorry, Draymond. We're all right. I'll back off. You care so much and you're not listening. I'm going to say that there's a chain reaction of events happened because of this. You had the Thunder break up, right? That was the end of officially the final nail in the coffin of one of the most promising young cores we've ever seen put together in the NBA, when we had Jeff Green, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. And slowly but surely, every one of those pieces left Russell Westbrook. Then we got solo Westbrook that ended up getting him a $40 million deal. Then that ended up being the worst deal you could possibly trade for, and maybe the catalyst for the Rockets' struggles in the playoffs this year against the Lakers. We also see KD turns heel, to use a wrestling term, and goes and joins the team. Like, the biggest bitch move in sports ever is he joined, you can't beat him, join him, became a reality. And we saw it at, like, that move created NBA Finals history because of how good they were. It also created NBA Finals history because then that same team experiences karma when everyone on the Golden State Warriors gets hurt last year, which turns into Kawhi's final, which turns into Kawhi leaving to go to the Clippers, which turns into last night's 3-1 blown deficit. I'm right. Look at those chain of events there.
Wow. Wow, you really butterfly affected that.
Sure did.
And
I'm an English teacher, so I know how to fill up with fluff.
I think the guy who it is really interesting though, if you think about it, that Thunder team was loaded. Can you imagine looking back, right? Like we both have kids.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully they grow up to be basketball fans or whatever, and we're going to be telling them, yeah, there was a Thunder team that had James Harden and Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and they never won anything.
They never won a ring.
They never won anything.
And like we're going to be like, into this day. When they got
there one time.
And we will
they
say.
They got there one time and they got their doors blown off.
Yeah, they lost 4-2, actually. They didn't lose that bad. They won like the first one.
Yeah, but those four games that they lost weren't even close.
No, LeBron locked them down. I'm going to give – I have to give it to that Thunder team because of the – it just was a catalyst for many events. It became such a crazy thing, and you saw immediately your luck run out. And we didn't even talk about Utah blowing a 3-1 lead, but that's because Utah versus Denver was an incredible series, and Game 7 was awesome. To your point – the Warriors losing 3-1 in the finals is a pretty big deal, and we made a lot of jokes about it for many years, but you're 100% right. That entire series was competitive. It was great. We don't remember any blowouts. Like, we don't remember the Warriors melting down. We just know they blew a 3-1 deficit. No one's going to forget anytime soon that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George made zero baskets in the fourth quarter and lost.
And I think it helps Golden State that the next year they ran it back and they just torched everybody. I would agree with your Thunder analysis if they, you know, went 0-for-11 in the fourth quarter of the game and they just completely shrank and nobody showed up. Because that's what you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and your boy Lemon Pepper Lou who couldn't make a shot. Like that, I mean, that to me is why it's the worst. Now, if they went 3-for-10 or three, whatever, I might be able to be swayed to your side here, but you can't tell me in a game where they scored, I think like 25 points in the entire second half, that's not the biggest collapse ever. When you have the reigning finals MVP, come on, man.
And the sixth man of the year.
New balances weren't helping.
Nobody likes New Balances, Kawhi, you nerd. Knee-jerk reactions from last night's Eastern Conference Finals game, and we completely forget about this incredible round one game between Jimmy Buckets and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, one of the absolute brightest stars. What are you pointing at, the cat?
Should I leave? No, should I leave?
For what?
We're talking about the Celtics game, right? I hear your co-host leave whenever you start talking about the Eastern Conference Finals. So I didn't know if that was my cue to leave and let you take over the show for the rest.
I don't know if he's coming back next week. Jimmy Butler scored 20 points, but somehow scored the most clutch 20 points of all time because that's just what he does. It's very weird. Bam Adebayo I can never say his name right. Bam had one of the biggest blocks in playoff history, maybe. I mean, like, that sounds like an embellishment, but that block, no. I was like, oh my god, this is like LeBron swatting Iggy in the finals.
So in mainstream news coverage today, there was actually the topic of, was the Bam block greater than the LeBron block? You know, the LeBron was the chase down swap from behind, but this was
man to man,
face to face. Tatum cocks it back to dunk it, and bam. I mean, that's all you can say is bam. It was incredible.
Knee-jerk reaction, man. We'll move on from this topic pretty quick because there's not enough from this game to really feel good about either team, I don't think. I want your knee-jerk prediction.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I don't think so.
Celtics in six.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it hurts the Celtics either. I think they win five. I think they get the gentleman sweep. Nothing about the Miami Heat last night made me worried for the Celtics. I don't think that the Heat can play that well again, shooting from three. I just don't. I said it last night on Hoop. There it is. I'll say it again. The Celtics are fine.
The only thing that would concern me is Jimmy Butler has the green light to shoot at will whenever he wants to.
Yeah.
And if he's hot, he's going to make them, and he's going to get open. And as you said, he had the most important 20 points we've ever seen in a basketball game, and he could do it again. But I man, the Celtics just have too much firepower compared to the Heat.
let's move on. We're going to ease out of basketball with our first team All-NBA announcements today. We're not going to talk about the other two because nobody really cares except for one particular person on the second team. James Harden, May 1st, all-team NBA, All-NBA. First team All-NBA was James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Golly, I can't speak tonight. Probably because I'm drinking mango, truly. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Luka. Two interesting stats from this lineup. Luka Doncic, to nobody's surprise, youngest ever to make the first team All-NBA. Guess what? Luka's incredible. In the future, Mavs fan for life, baby. Mavs fan for life. Hold on a second. Just make sure you all know what it's about. LeBron, record-breaking.
Let me ask you something. Does he have every youngest player ever stat yet?
I think it feels like he does. It feels like every game Man. He breaks a record at this point. Luka's incredible. And that, like, I literally had no basketball team until Luka existed. Then I was like, man, Mark Cuban's a dope ass human being, and Luka plays for his team. Psh, I'm in. Mavs fan for life. Even though it just started, my life started when I became a Mavs fan, and my son was born quickly after. It just makes sense. LeBron James set a record, which is incredibly impressive, and it's a testament to how good LeBron is. Whether you love him or hate him, how you feel about him in the finals doesn't matter. 16 first team All NBA selections. That is an incredible accomplishment. But you disagree with one person on this team. Tell me,
Giannis. I don't understand.
He's going to be the MVP.
I don't understand why. He's a one-dimensional player. If we want to talk about a guy.
Will you admit to me right now that LeBron James should be the finals should be the NBA MVP over Giannis, because those are the top two this year?
I don't like either of those choices. I don't even think LeBron is the best player right now on his own team. I think that would be Anthony Davis.
Okay, that's a different discussion for a different day. We'll get there probably next week when the Lakers piss me off. But go on with the Giannis take. Go on.
So Giannis, like, we've already forgotten, right? Like, 24 hours has happened. Kawhi Leonard failed in the semis, and we've completely forgotten how Giannis got his doors blown off by a above average team in the East.
I mean, I thought, like, the Miami Heat were going to beat him the whole way. I never for a second thought the Miami Heat were not going to win that series. I don't believe in the Bucks as a team. It's not Giannis. Well, that's not true. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, it is Giannis, because he has no offensive game. That team has no identity in the fourth quarter. They have nobody that's going to step up and score for them unless it's Chris Middleton, who did it last year, but he has not been the same guy this year. Giannis should not be the MVP. Giannis should not be first team All-NBA over a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who until last night has had arguably the best playoff run yet, statistically.
I called Kawhi Leonard the most consistent player in basketball, and we joke that he's a robot because, you know, you're getting 25 to 32. 8 to 12 boards and 4 to 6 assists. Like, you know what a stat line is every day, except for last night. You could pretty much just pencil it in. Like, if you're playing fantasy basketball, you want Kawhi because you know you're going to get like 60 fantasy points from him every single night. But man, listen, Giannis is the MVP. He's the best defender in the league. That's not an overstatement. He's the best defender in the league. This is a regular season award. If we were going to include, and there's an argument to be held, and we'll have that discussion real quick before we move on. If, in my opinion, the league MVP should not be handed out until the end of the playoffs. That way we can encompass all of it. Because if a team's not in the playoffs, their top star is not going to be an MVP contender anyway, right? If the Mavericks were a 7 seed, Luka was not an MVP candidate. If the Mavericks were like a 1 through 4 seed, then Luka would have been up there. I will argue, though, and there is some bias here, I will argue that Giannis is the worst player in the first team All-NBA. And yes, I think Luka is a significantly better player than him. I think Luka does way more for his team. Also, Luka lost to the Clippers without Porzingis, but he still hit a game winner, and the dude doesn't fucking quit. He doesn't quit. He's a great player. You can rely on him. And to your point, playoff Giannis is not someone that you really want to see, because if you're a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks,
yeah,
these other dudes, say what you want about James Harden. James Harden is good for winning a series or two. And I trash James Harden a lot. That's sure. The thing I do, because I hate his game. Anthony Davis, I mean, he got a really shitty Pelicans team to the playoffs one time and carried them. Dude was averaging like 40 and 20 over a six-game span at one point in his career. LeBron?
Absolutely.
LeBron, one of the best players of all time. Luka looks like he's marching down the path that LeBron did. But Giannis is the MVP, man. He's the MVP of the regular season. My question to you is...
You know what we're going to do here?
Go. Go ahead.
You know what we're going to do here? I have the entire... all three teams pulled up. I'm just going to go in order by votes. You tell me the guy that you would take Giannis over. We're going to run through here. I'm just going to say names. You tell me if you'll take LeBron James.
No, I wouldn't take him over Giannis.
Would you take?
I wouldn't take Giannis over him. Sorry, other way.
Yep. James Harden.
Yes, I would take Giannis over him. Defensive side of the ball
based
is more
on
important.
What?
His defensive side
defense?
Of the ball, he can
okay.
He can guard every position. He can guard every position on the floor.
Isn't the 90s.
Okay, but hold on a second. Listen.
This isn't the 90s where defense
it's
matters
not.
Anymore.
But when LeBron
everybody's scoring 100 points.
When LeBron James came into this league, he was Giannis. He had a little better offensive game. But why did LeBron James get smoked by the San Antonio Spurs? Because he was one-dimensional at the time. If you could keep him from wreaking havoc in the lane, you beat LeBron James. It wasn't until LeBron James went and started playing with Dwayne Wade and all of a sudden had a pretty consistent jumper, and because of course he did. He was working out with Dwayne Wade every day, and Dwayne Wade's one of the best mid-range shooters we've seen in the last 20 years. Not until we saw that from him was he a better player. But what he carried those Cavs teams the way he did because his defense was so unbelievable. Giannis is the same guy. Does he have the LeBron James mentality even? No. But James Harden has no mentality. He shrinks in the playoffs too, and he doesn't even play defense. So why do I want him on my team over Giannis?
Because at least he's taking you to a Western Conference. At least he's taking you to a Western Conference final.
Yeah, but he's been in the
league
for 10 years.
At least he's
gotten
you to the point where you think you could win. You would never think. Also, here's the thing. You want to compare him to LeBron James and building a jumper? How old was LeBron and how old is Giannis? Giannis is no spring chicken.
I mean, he is behind
LeBron.
Giannis
has been in the league for quite some time. Mm. I mean, is he any different? Like, he's a better defensive version of Ben Simmons. They are the same guy. And neither of them will ever be 1A enough to – neither of them will ever be good enough to be the number one player and win you a championship.
Go in, King. Never. What you got next? Let's go through the rest of them real quick because we got to get out of this and get done with the NBA.
Anthony Davis.
Oh, God, no. No, I wouldn't take Giannis over here. I'm not a chance in the
Luka.
World. No, fuck no. Bias and also Luka actually scores the ball.
Kawhi.
No. No. And so, okay, I see where you're going. Who?
My point is like...
Did you say Paul George?
No. Jokic.
Oh, no. No. No, no, no. No. Jokic might
I mean,
be, my,
you get down,
Jokic
you
might
get
be
down
a better
to,
center than Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you get on down, you get Dame, C3P, CP3, and Siakam after that. And
which
that's kind of where I would put
them.
Giannis. And that... I would put him in that same lineup of, but look, Chris Paul's never won you a championship either.
Yeah, yeah. And Paul, that mean you're putting him in line with possible Hall of Famers. I get it. Let's get on to, let's ease out aggressively. Without so much of an ease, aggressively shift out of the NBA. And as you guys listen to this show, by the way, if you're here this long, about 30 minutes in, if you love or hate a take we have, let us know what you think, man. Like, tell us, like, who was the biggest 3-1 just meltdown of all time. What do you agree with Steven that Giannis shouldn't be first team all NBA even or the MVP? Tell us what you think in the comments. We'd love it. Knee jerk reactions from week one of the NBA, the NFL. Let's talk very quickly through Tampa Bay Bucks. They'll be okay. They'll be okay.
I don't know, man. Brady looks old. I'm not ready to write him off yet, but man, he already looked old. He's looking even older. I'm not sure he has the arm to be in that offense. I'm a little nervous, but I'm not panicked yet.
I have faith in Bruce Arians' offense. New England Patriots with Cam. I actually am not sold on that offense with Cam Newton. I'm not sold on that offense with Cam Newton. I thought it looked pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where if you take away the Fitzpatrick three interceptions, that game might look a whole lot different, because that second half looked a whole lot different than the first half did, where the Dolphins just started lining everybody up on the line, mm-hmm. and Cam wasn't as effective. I'm thinking better defenses, more tape. I'm a little nervous, but Josh McDaniels is a brilliant guy. They do game plan week to week. I kind of have them on a holding pattern as well. I don't really know what to think about the New England Patriots yet.
They have a great defense.
I know that.
They have a great defense. CJ, to his point, you guys will hear this on Quick Slants. You actually already did, because this show's coming out, I don't know, whenever. On Quick Slants, you'll hear CJ, big-time Patriots homer, did say that the defense is what makes him feel good about them making the playoffs, and he likes Cam Newton. He likes them shrink. They're going to shrink the game this year. It's going to lose them more games than we're accustomed to seeing the New England Patriots lose. It won't be Cam Newton's fault, but it's because with Cam Newton, you do need to have a run-dominated offense. I'm a little weary about how good they're going to be. The Bills are winning that division. That's what I think. Texans without
Hopkins. They lose this weekend.
Especially if they lose this weekend. My Houston Texans without DeAndre Hopkins.
Ugh.
Deshaun Watson didn't look worth $40 million, did he?
Man, you can't put that on Deshaun
Watson. No, of course not. I'm just saying, like, and you see how big of a difference you, like, I love Deshaun Watson. My son came home in a Deshaun Watson onesie. That's the first outfit he wore at home. Like, Deshaun Watson is going to be my GOAT for the Texans of all time. I love that man. I think he's a great human being, and he's a great quarterback. And if he left us for greener pastures, I would cry just like I do for everyone else that does. But you see the difference when you, like, a quarterback like him that is that good, when they don't have a number one, you see what happens, and it is not good.
No, I mean, you guys have problems on the offensive line. You guys have problems at wide receiver. And honestly, you got problems at running back. I know Johnson
looked David Johnson
pretty
looked good
there at the beginning. He looked fine, but he's not going to do enough to bail you out of your bad offensive line and your lack of wide receivers. When Will Fuller is your best receiver, things are going bad in Houston. I'm just glad we have your first-round pick this year.
God damn it. Yeah, because we traded two of them for Laremy Tunsil. And Tunsil's been fine, but that's another topic. I could do a whole episode on the Texans and how I feel. I think my Texans are fine. They will be 0-2 after this weekend, because we're playing Baltimore, and we just got a really bad schedule to start the year. We'll be 2-2 in week four, and then who knows?
You play in a bad division.
We play in a really bad division. We should win that division, because it's so really bad. Also, we should trade for Odell Beckham Jr. Miami, is it Tua time? Is it time for Tua for your Dolphins?
You know, I am so excited for Tua Tagovailoa. I smashed some Trulies together on draft night and Stone Cold Steve Austin them for a wrestling reference. So stoked. Everybody that I could talk to, so stoked about it. I would give it some time. Look, Fitzpatrick looked really, really bad last week. If he looks really, really bad this week, I would say next week it's Tua time. We have Jacksonville, and then we have a long 10-day layover before the Seattle Seahawks. So, yeah, I think we're a week away if Fitzpatrick plays bad. But if we're 2-1, let him sit. We have a late bye this year. So we're almost there.
I think you ride out Ryan Fitzpatrick for a little while. I think you ride out Fitzpatrick for a while. I don't think you let Tua play in this version of the NFL this year with no preseason. I think that you're setting him for failure if you play him this year. Let him sit there. Let him heal up. He did get injured. He's probably fine now, but I mean, why rush it, man? Let Ryan Fitzpatrick play. You have a Texans first round pick that's going to be mid round. You have the assets
mid-round?
In place. We'll be mid round. We'll win 8 or 9 games. That'll be a mid round pick. Even if we win 6 or 7 games, that'll be a mid. There are a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year. 6 wins will put you at a mid round.
There
pick.
Are a lot of bad teams.
There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL.
What we have to ask Tom, our betting guy, what the odds were that Washington and Jacksonville would be leading their divisions. after week one.
Looking back, it's not that surprising to me that Jacksonville is, because I'm like, oh shit, I forgot that Minshew's pretty good. But I thought he was going to be like immediately bad this year after being immediately decent last year. I don't know. We killed Bortles Gardner Minshew when we played him last year. You say Bortles? You call him Bortles?
You should again this year. Gardner Minshew, he's the same guy.
No.
He's the same guy.
Bortles was way worse.
Blake Bortles did. Look, are you telling me that Blake Bortles couldn't go 10 for 18 for 175 yards and two touchdowns?
No. Because
he's done it multiple times. I'm not talking about late Blake Bortles. I'm talking about he's done the same things that Gardner's doing right now. He's the same guy.
19 to 20,
minus
man.
The mustache.
19 to 20. That's a pretty good
game. For how many? 175 yards?
Well, yeah, they were dinks.
They threw for 100. Dak Prescott's hoping to roll that to a $45 million contract, but still, it's not impressive.
Oh, God, no. Especially when his coach decides that. Can we talk about that? Everyone's freaking out about Jalen Ramsey. Everyone's freaking out about Jalen Ramsey and how he got a superstar call in the NFL, which, by the way, welcome to the NFL. Superstars get calls. I'm going to just say it, man. The reason why that happened is because Mike McCarthy is a dumb piece of shit and decided to wait till the end of the game to throw down the field. You have all of that speed on your team, Steven. You have Dak, who can kind of throw deep. Dak's deep ball's pretty trash. That throw he threw to, was it Cooper, I think, that got the offensive PI? That throw was actually beautiful. So
Gallup.
Beautiful. It was Gallup. A beautiful throw. And he's just not. Go ahead.
I love Jalen Ramsey. Florida State. That was a really bad call.
It's a terrible call.
That was a really bad call.
That call happens when you don't throw the ball down the field, and Jalen Ramsey's been locking you down all game. He's going to get that call. It's a fourth quarter with 30 seconds left. They just assumed that he did it. But you don't put the ref.
That's a bad call.
Absolutely bad call. But the refs aren't going to make that call because they've been put in a position to where the one time they throw down the field, they have to say, did the corner cover him or did he not cover him? And what are they going to do? The corner covered him. They're going to do it every time, Steven. Every time they're going to make that call.
No, but they shouldn't. It's a bad call. I should skip Bayless this right now and bang my hand and tell you that, like, they actually had a really good game plan, I think, because they kept it close all game long.
Right.
And then they have the final possession of the final drive, and Dak throws up a dime of a ball. Michael Gallup gets separation on arguably the best cornerback in football, and it gets called back. It's an awful call. It shouldn't have been called. And actually, your belief that the Cowboys had an awful game plan is actually a really, really bad take.
Well, it's easy to assume that they had a really bad game plan when they don't even kick to tie it. When they were down three. College football, baby. College football started 2 weeks ago. We'll have a college football show that is SEC-centric, like all of college football is anyway, at some point on this network. But let's just start with the big news today. The Big 12 changed their mind within a month, to start 2 months late. It's about them Benjamins. This is the Northeast that's been very conservative about reopening things. Explain to me how you go from three teams voting to play out of 14, 3-11 was the last vote, to 14-0 in a month. How do 30 days make that much difference, Steven?
Well, I mean, I think 30 days has made a difference for a lot of people. But I think what they've actually seen is no other conference outside of the Pac-12 opted to not play. So I think they see everybody else playing. I think coaches are getting nervous about recruiting. I think colleges are getting worried about losing money. And I think they're saying, well, things look like they're getting better. Everybody else is playing. Why don't we play? Is it the right call? I don't know. You know, are you putting kids' lives at risk, or, you know, because that's the flip side argument, right?
Right.
The other side of that argument is these are pretty much the healthiest college kids that you're going to see. They are going to go to campus anyway. They are going to be around other college kids. why not have them in their routine where they're eating healthy? They're seeing a doctor regularly. I think that's the biggest part about all this is and these doing guys, daily these COVID college testing. Kids, these athletes, they are getting, but they see these doctors every week, every other day. And I mean, that's without COVID. That's, you know, that's just normal, you know, ankles, hips, heads, whatever, sicknesses. Yeah. But if you're asking me why they made the decision, it's money. This was a money decision. They're not thinking about anything else other than recruiting and money.
But here, this is my question with them, and there's some other news rumors going around that the Pac-12 is now, it's not even rumors, Gavin Newsom and Kate Brown, those are the governors of California and Oregon, respectively. I spent a lot of time on Twitter, boys and girls, spent a lot of time on Twitter, and I know things I shouldn't. Like, I'm in Texas, we're in the South. Why the fuck would either of us care who the, like, we're in the South, we hate California. Why would we care who the governor is there?
Where's California again?
It's where the whatever them hippies are. Those are not our
on the left side.
Don't reflect our political views. No, it's just Southern shit. Anyway, we're stupid in the South. That's a joke. but like the Pac-12 also here's the reason why the Big Ten did it. They thought everybody was going to follow behind them and move to the spring, and they're like, cool, we'll just do football in the spring, baby. And then they're like, the Pac-12 did it, and they like joined them, and they're like, oh, so nobody joined us. And the Pac-12 is like, no, we exist. And college football playoff is like, yeah, no, you don't. USC's terrible. That's the only team we care about there.
I legitimately told you the ACC and the SEC was never going to shut down.
No.
I mean, outside of the Big 12. Drastic waves or anything else. That whole southern all the way up to West Virginia was never going to shut down.
No, there's I can go to a bar right now and eat and drink. We don't close shit down in the South.
No, I was just in Florida the other week, and all the restaurants are open. They have tables situated 6 feet apart or whatever. But no, you can go sit down and have a meal, have a beer, everything.
I'm not saying it's Florida, the right decision. I don't fucking know. I'm not a scientist. I'm just telling you what we do in the South. We just do what we do in the South. I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, it's money. I mean, you're 100% right. And the intentions are money-based. And the fact that the college football playoff, they saw the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC. And out of those conferences, yes, the ACC is the least important because they have Clemson and Florida State. But they don't have the massive like landscape that like Big 12 country has Texas, which is huge viewership. SEC has everywhere else in the South. So of course, like, and the ACC is super important. They're a million times more important than the damn Pac-12. But the Big Ten sees like college football playoffs, like, no, I mean, please, like, yeah, we're gonna lose Ohio State, but we'll just put two ACC teams in or two SEC teams in the college football playoff. Like, we'll still have a great playoff, we'll still have a great champion, and no one's gonna care. Your hand is forced. Go ahead.
Yeah. I actually think the conversation that we should be having now is how will the rankings be affected with the fact that Big Ten is starting at the end of October and you're going to have all these teams about a month worth of resume in? How are they going to decide and decipher everything out for the end of the year?
Well, so that's going to be super weird. I'm glad let's talk about way too early predictions for college football and rankings and all that good stuff. We'll get on there and we'll talk about the Big 12's failure and SEC startup. So that's a super interesting conversation to have because Ohio State is probably the main one. That's the main one from the Big Ten that you really have to like wonder. Maybe Wisconsin. I don't remember. Like, they lost Jonathan Taylor. That's a pretty big loss. But they'll be decent. Michigan, they'll be ranked high and then not do well because they're Michigan and that's what they do. Sorry, Tom. The SEC will have only played 2 weeks by then. Oh, no, they'll play a whole month, and Big 12 will have played almost 2 months by then. I think other than Ohio, I think
same with the ACC.
I think you have to, yeah, ACC's longer than them. They started before us, Big 12 country. I think you have to rank them lower. I think you have to see what every team looks like when they're all done with 10 games.
Well, here's what I'm concerned about is that they're going to roll into this and say, we're going to choose the best four teams available.
And there's going
to
be
recency
bias.
I'm going to flip my microphone over. And, well, you're just going to get – Ohio State's got a loaded roster, so of course they're the best. And I am such a proponent of I need wins and losses. I need metrics. I need analytics. I do it with the LeBron James conversation all the time, right? Mm-hmm, like, yes, is he the most skilled player ever? Absolutely. Would I take his career over others? No, absolutely not. So when I look at college football and I see this and I'm like, that's what's going to happen. We're going to get Ohio State. Big 12 is not going to matter. We're going to get two SEC teams.
Yes, it will. Oklahoma will be one of them.
Oklahoma's going to lose, just like they always do.
Sure.
Tell me when Oklahoma doesn't lose to Eastern New Mexico State.
Actually, they don't lose those games. It happens every year. They lose the ones that matter. They always lose the big games that matter. It's very shocking that Oklahoma didn't drop a game to my Bears last year, because that's what they do. My Baylor Bears.
Baylor?
Yeah, they were a top 10 team last year. Thank you. A great defense. And now Matt Rhule is an NFL coach.
Great defense?
Yeah.
Like Big 12 great defense? Or like?
Sure were.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely. We were the only team that played defense. And thereby, by process of elimination, we were a great defense because we were the only defense in our conference.
Let me tell you something. If Oklahoma loses, they're normal. And LSU has a one loss. LSU's getting in over Oklahoma.
It's going to be weird this year. I mean, bias aside, there's no non-conference matchups. So you have to go based on the strength of the conferences at the time. The Big 12, and this is a good segue opportunity here. The Big 12 lost three games to the Fun Belt. You had Kansas, who I don't care how good of a coach Les Miles was once upon a time. He will never turn that program around. Kansas is terrible. Kansas State will never be good again. Go ahead.
They lost to Coastal, didn't they?
They lost to Coastal Carolina.
To Coastal?
2 years in a row. Yeah, they're not good. Kansas is a basketball school. That's all they're good for. Kansas State no longer has the wizard Bill Snyder. So Bill Snyder, Hall of Fame coach, one of the best coaches ever to play. Kansas State had good teams in his years. Kansas State was one time a number one team, and then they came to Waco and lost to my Bears. Ha ha. With a terrible quarterback that year. Anyway, and then the biggest one was Iowa State, who was number 23 in the preseason. Matt Campbell, I think, is the name of the coach there. Iowa State's been a good program the last few years, but they lost to Louisiana. Sure. Who's that? Who they lost to?
Lafayette.
They lost to the Cajuns.
Louisiana Lafayette, right? Isn't that who? Adam Sandler played for in the Water Boy.
Yeah, sure is. Yeah.
Maybe not. Right,
maybe it was based on them.
Something like that. But Iowa State shouldn't be losing to them.
No, and they not only did they lose to them, they got beat up by 10 points, I want to say. I can't pull it up on my computer.
No, they lost. They lost by 17, 31-14.
I knew it was. They got lost beat
by 17 to Louisiana Lafayette.
And that's what's going to kill the Big 12 in the college football playoffs.
No, I mean, this is what you guys do. That's what the whole conference does, is they underachieve. Every team that gets hyped up, almost always the next week, they come in and they just shit the bed. Including your Baylor Bears.
Yeah, but like, we're historically bad. So like, when we're good and we shit the bed, we just actually go back to normal. Like, this is kind of how we are. And then like, when we were
Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, all underachievers.
Oh, Texas is like one of the biggest underachievers of like all time. They think they're this great program. Oh my God, I could go on a rant. I won't, but fuck
you. They are the best of the Big 12, though, traditionally speaking.
I don't think they are. No, not traditionally speaking at all. It's always Oklahoma. UT has been so check it out. Listen, UT is five. The last 10 years against my Baylor Bears, they're 5-5. Only about five of those years maybe four or five of those years were we good. The UT is always ranked very, very high. They're ranked in the top 10 right now, but they will not end up being good. Sam Ellinger, who is their quarterback, he will shrink when it matters. He always does. Texas is the most overhyped program that's not named Notre Dame in the entire country. Those two they're the same program. They're the same fucking program. That they were once upon a time very, very good, but it's been 15 years since Texas was worth a shit, and they're just not good. They're just not good. They're bad at basketball. They're bad at football.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Most overrated team? Texas, Notre Dame, Southern Cal.
So the pollsters are pretty low on Southern Carolina. Southern Carolina. What the hell am I saying? Southern California. They're USC. I would have usually gone with USC, but ever since it's been a long time since that Leinart Reggie Bush situation, so they've kind of backed off on him. I'm going to go with UT, and this is why. Bias. Also, last year, remember, everybody was all up on UT at the preseason. Week two, they play LSU. Joe Burrow throws like 8,000 touchdowns on them. And then UT just pitter-pattered away to obscurity, as they always do. Sam Ehlinger got really excited because they had a great win against the SEC team in a bowl game the year before. They looked like they were going to be a top 10 team, just like they do every year. They have a great recruiting class. Nobody does less with more than the University of Texas. Nobody does less with more than the University of Texas. They did it with Mack Brown, and now they're doing it with Tom Herman, and they sure as hell did it with Charlie Strong. God, they were bad with Charlie Strong.
Just Texas fans, just to let you know, Anthony, I got you guys back. Hook 'em horns, baby. Hook 'em horns.
I love the city you live in, but fuck your college. I love the city you live in, though. Even though, not fuck your college. You know, I should be careful because they actually sign my paychecks. I really do get paid by University of Texas.
Man, that's tough.
It is tough.
So we were going to jump in, though. Who was your Final Four?
Ohio State. Ohio State, Clemson, Bama, LSU, probably. I mean, yeah, you're probably right. Oklahoma gets left out. Because you can't. Oklahoma won't have their non-conference schedule where they look impressive for 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And the rest of the Big 12 is just trash. So when they win the Big 12, it's not going to matter for anything.
This year, the Big 12 is pretty bad. The Big 12 is pretty bad. Texas Tech is really bad. Texas Tech lost to the Fun Belt, too, actually. So that's four losses. Yeah, whatever. At least Baylor, if we lose this week, we'll play University of Houston.
I would pump the brakes on Clemson. Look, I'm not a Tar Heels fan. Although I live in the state of North Carolina, I'm not a Tar Heels fan. I'm a Florida State fan. North Carolina looks really good. And you know what? I've seen Clemson shriek under the pressure. I'm going to go North Carolina, Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia.
North Carolina,
I'm
going to
leave
out
LSU because...
Okay. LSU Alabama, probably won't make it this year. Alabama, Georgia. Georgia.
No.
Georgia didn't bring their quarterback back, I thought, though. Did they?
No, they didn't. They'll be fine.
Their defense is pretty good. Their defense smashed my Baylor Bears in a New Year's Day bowl game. Their defense is very good. They didn't lose that many players.
LSU went on a Cinderella run with a below-average quarterback who's going to get exposed in the NFL.
You're just trying to make CJ mad. Joe Burrow's had one of the best years of all time at the quarterback position.
He did. Look, Kimball Walker had a fantastic March Madness.
Twice.
Had a fantastic.
Twice.
And look, ask CJ how he feels about Kimball Walker today.
You're such a dick. You're playing into exactly the kind. Like, you're such an asshole. I love it.
No, let me tell you. Tomorrow night's game is probably my two least favorite quarterbacks who are going to underachieve and be out of the NFL in the next 3 to 5 years.
Baker Mayfield is just Johnny Manziel. They're just the same guy.
People were afraid about that. He's got a better arm than Johnny. It's above the shoulders. It's all above the shoulders.
Yeah, for sure. No, Mayfield
I like his
be
attitude.
Good.
He should be, but he's not.
Yeah, I mean, he plays for the Browns,
and just
too.
Like Joe Burrow.
I think Joe Burrow will be fine in Cincinnati. I think he will be just fine. Also, I love that Joe Burrow, and we'll end on this. I love that Joe Burrow actually said that he looked like shit. He didn't say those words, but he said, I looked like absolute trash in the first half, and then I felt like I played pretty okay in the fourth quarter. That is not something.
It's not going to get much better than that.
It's not going to, well, no, because their offensive line is going to get him killed, and he's not making it through the whole season. I know how this works. I saw it with Deshaun Watson his first year. He will tear his ACL. He will absolutely tear his ACL because someone's going to tackle his knee, and that's just going to happen. At one point, they had a play where the quarterback and the running back got tackled from a bum rush. Like, you got problems, and he shouldn't be starting. You should start a veteran, that isn't your future. But
who do you like tomorrow night?
I'm taking the Browns, and I feel awful about it because I hate them both. But the offensive line is so bad, so, so bad for the Bengals. And Myles Garrett is going to just pick up those linemen and consume them whole. He won't chew. He's just going to, like, straight up pick them up and just, sack. They're going to get, like, 5 sacks, probably 3 of them from Myles Garrett.
When you listen to this, or the game will have already been over by then. I like the Browns as well. I don't know if they'll cover. I mean, that's kind of where I'm sticking right now.
I think you're at like 6.
I think the Browns win the game.
I think the Browns do cover. I think they win by 10. I don't think that offensive line is good enough to give Burrow enough time to get the ball to AJ Green and make damage and have damage happen.
And that defense isn't good enough to stop Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham.
Well, no, but both of those guys are good enough to stop themselves. Guys, this is the first episode of Southern Showdown here on Shooting the Sports-ish. We appreciate you guys for listening in. This will be what we do every single week. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, hit that red subscribe button down below. Then move up slightly to the left, hit the like button, and leave comments. All of that engagement and stuff you do with us, that is actually what really helps with the algorithms on YouTube. Shows people are like, oh man, people are digging the fuck out of these nerds. I like it. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to share it with my homies. Do that. You can follow the show at Sports Shoot Sports-ish. Carolina, Stephen Carolina, you got anything else you want to say before we get out of here? Where can we follow you? What's on Raw Views tomorrow?
Yeah, man, you can check out my show tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. I'm going to be talking to AEW, Dynamite, and NXT. I'm going to break it all down, and I'm going to talk about, should Cesaro leave WWE or stay? I think, based on how people think, I think you'll be surprised.
And you can follow me at Tony on Sports. I am on a few shows here. I'm doing this one. I do the NBA podcast with CJ. I do Quick Slants, which our predictions will be up as well. And I also am playing the Tony Reality role for Fantasy with the Toms that we release on Sunday mornings, as they give you everything about the DraftKings lineups. So, again, check us out. For Stephen Carolina, I'm Texas Tony. This has been Southern Showdown. We see y'all next week, all right?
Is QuickBooks slowing your business down? Do you have challenges managing inventory, project profitability, or just getting paid fast enough? Get your business to a better place and graduate to NetSuite today. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite.
Join the over 24,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/info. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/info, netsuite.com/info.